Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
A couple of hours earlier, maybe you have not heard it. A three-time Defensive Player of the Year, eight-time All-Star, five-time first-team All-NBA player has been traded. Holy crap. That is enormous. That's huge. The list of guys who have that resume is tiny. So some team just got a hell of a lot better. And the balance of power in the NBA just got tilted big time. Clearly, somebody is loading up for a run at the Warriors in the West or the Celtics in the East. Oh, wait. The guy who was traded was Dwight Howard. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted the news, and it is a brutal statement. Here is the first sentence, quote, Charlotte is finalizing a deal to send Dwight Howard to the Brooklyn Nets for Timofey Mozgov. League sources tell ESPN. So that's what it's come to. That's what it's come to. Dwight Howard being traded for Timofey Mozgov. Man, that is a kick in the junk for DH12 or whatever number he's wearing these days. But maybe the guy balls out and can become the face of the Brooklyn franchise. Maybe they're buying low on him and they feel like he could turn it around. Nope. Because as bad as that first sentence was, the second sentence of that tweet was even more damaging to Howard's rep. Quote, Nets will save $17 million on deal in 2019-20 season, allowing them to create two max salary slots. So the Nets are not bringing in Dwight because they love his game. They're bringing him in because they love his expiring contract. They're not looking to build around him. They're looking to build around somebody else, and he's disposable. But then again, you know how Twitter is. That character limit can sometimes give you the wrong impression, because when you drill down, you realize it's not like Charlotte only got a backup center who played in 31 games in exchange for Dwight Howard. They actually got two second-round draft picks and some cash as well. Well, actually, knowing that they got a pair of second-round picks and some money, that actually makes it even more insulting. There was a time when trading Dwight Howard would get you a fortune in return. Now it gets you Timofey Mozgov, a couple of second-rounders, and some cash. There was a time when Dwight Howard was the premier center in the NBA. This guy had stashes of Skittles, Starbursts, Twizzlers, Reese's Pieces all over his house, his car, in his backpack. And it looked like the guy was still carved from granite. It was one of the most amazing things ever. There was a time when he ate the equivalent of 24 candy bars per day and was still putting up huge numbers. There was a time when he was a Hall of Famer. And honestly, if you took his name off the top of that resume, he still would be an absolute game-changing big, three-time Defensive Player of the Year, named to an all-league team 14 times, a slam dunk champion, telling you just how athletic this guy was. What I'm saying is, there was a time when Dwight Howard being traded would have sent shockwaves through the entire NBA. Now, Dwight Howard joining a new team is an annual occurrence. Literally, because he was dealt from Atlanta to Charlotte on June 20th of last year, and on the anniversary of that epic deal, he is being traded once again. I hope he's only going with 12-month leases. Better yet, better make it month-to-month, because my guy will be playing on his fourth team in 4 years, and if his mission is to play for every single team in the NBA, he's getting pretty close. Since 2016, he's played for Houston, Atlanta, Charlotte, and now Brooklyn. His collection of jerseys and name tags is getting pretty extensive. He's gone from being a franchise player to being an every franchise player. And the good thing is, he's coming off a pretty good season. The guy did average 17 and 13 and played 81 games. So it's not like this guy is broken down and old. He's 32. He's putting up numbers. But he just got traded for Timofey Mozgov. And before that, he was traded for Marco Bellinelli and a Plumlee, which says a hell of a lot about Dwight Howard. Teams used to fall over themselves to get Dwight Howard, and now they're falling all over themselves to get rid of Dwight Howard. And he hasn't changed at all. He just keeps getting dealt, and it's always somebody else's fault. When the common denominator in all these locker rooms is what? It's him. I mean, how much of a pain in the back do you have to be for one team after another to give up on you as quickly as they do? Well, according to Brendan Haywood, pretty damn unpleasant. He told SiriusXM, quote, "The Hornets locker room did not like Dwight Howard. Guys were just sick and tired of his act," end quote. Sick and tired of his act. He just got there. I mean, shouldn't it take a couple of years before guys get sick and tired of your act? Apparently not if you're Dwight, because he's torching locker rooms at a record pace. He can do in months what most guys need years to do. Roll right in, piss off his teammates, and then get dealt. Got to Houston to partner with James Harden, gone. Got to go back home to Atlanta, gone. Got to go to Charlotte and put up numbers, gone. Gets to go to Brooklyn and, well, you can see the pattern. Eat, sleep, destroy, repeat. I'll meet you right back here on June 20th, 2019, when he's put out on the curb for further recycling. I am joined right now by Harvey Levin. Harvey, it's so good to have you back on. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How you doing?
Harvey, I'm doing great. It's nice to visit with you. And as I mentioned, the second season of Objectified premieres on Sunday, and it features a conversation with Magic Johnson. So let me start right there. Before we get to exactly what you talked about with him, can you lay out the premise and your approach when it comes to that TV show?
Yep. So the idea of the show is that, you know, I wanted to go to really accomplished people and find out kind of the building blocks of their life. Not like a resume, but more the moments that really kind of shape them and turn them into the people they are. And the device we use is that I ask them to give me some object that they kept that represents each period of their life that we talk about. And the reason it kind of changes the dynamic is that, you know, you could take, it's funny because I was talking to somebody about what object I would pick, and one of the things I would pick is my dad's shoes, which I keep in his trunk, in my trunk of my car. And there's a reason behind it, and there's a reason, so the shoes aren't expensive, obviously, they're just shoes, but they mean something to me, and it unlocks a whole story. And that's what this is about. It allows the people I'm talking to kind of, you know, hone in on the things that are important to them. And it just makes it more intimate. And with Magic, you know, I mean, look, when you think about this guy, he was dirt poor, you know, living in a terrible area. And he was able to not only, you know, become biggest basketball players of all time, but a guy who had no real training, you know, in worldly things like business, became one of the titans of business. How does somebody do that? And that's what we explored during this hour. And it's an amazing ride. I mean, he is, Jim, you know him. He is just fantastic.
Harvey Levin joining us. You know, Harvey, in addition to all of that, in that conversation with Magic, you ask him about the day that he was diagnosed as HIV positive. What did he tell you about that day?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, it was very somber, and it wasn't like a piece of past for him. I mean, it's something he still lives with. I mean, he still has HIV. So it was emotional, and he was telling me this right where he sat down with Cookie, his wife, and told her and explained to me. Because, look, I mean, this was 1991. And Magic said, look, I was ready to die. I mean, you know, I know that I said I was retiring from basketball. The reality is that I was getting my will together. I had told Cookie, you could leave me. I would understand if you do. And he was not necessarily giving up on life, but processing it, he essentially felt he was checking out and talked about how he went from that to, you know, becoming a leader in, you know, in dealing with HIV and accepting people who have it and doing what he did and moving on with his life. And you think about that turnaround, Jim, because, you know, back then it was a death sentence for a lot of people. And it turned out not to be for him, and in many ways, just because of the grace of God. But that ride is really incredible.
This hump day version of the Daily Jungle podcast is brought to you by my pals at Fan Exchange. Are you thinking about buying tickets to your favorite sports, concert, or theater event? Maybe you want to experience a basketball game courtside rather than on your couch. The weekend is coming up. Do something fun. Do something different. Be a hero. Be a legend. Grab some tickets to a game or a show. Head on over to FanExchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. Tickets purchased on FanExchange are always guaranteed, so there's no getting to the gate and having to worry about getting in. So whether it's MLB, wrestling, or even a Broadway musical, FanExchange gets you closer to all the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at FanExchange.com and use the promo code ROME. Promo code ROME and get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. FanExchange, we have tickets. Harvey Levin joining us. You know, Harvey, one more thing about that, because that press conference absolutely was one of those where were you when moments. In fact, I'm not even sure that does it justice. As long as you've done this, I don't remember any press conference quite like that one. Now, you've been involved in a number of these moments, including O.J. Simpson, but what do you remember about the way you felt or what you were thinking when you heard that Magic was HIV positive?
It just came out of the blue.
Right.
I mean, it was just so, it was so stunning. And, you know, this guy who was this kind of indomitable force said, I'm leaving basketball. I have HIV. I may die. And it just all happened at once, and it really was shocking. He told me he didn't really want to do this news conference, nor did Cookie. They did not want to do this. And they were convinced, I don't know if you remember Elizabeth Glazer.
Sure.
But she famously died from AIDS and was dealing with it when Magic was ready to do this. And he knew her, and she came over and she said, look, you know, maybe I'm giving away too much, but she had a hard conversation with them about the need to do what they did, and she turned them around. But he did not want to do this press conference, and she changed his mind.
We're talking to Harvey Levin, founder and managing editor of TMZ. The second season of Objectified premieres on Sunday at 8 p.m. on Fox News. Now, Harvey, you know and understand Los Angeles and Southern California as well as anyone. What do you think life would be like if LeBron James were to join the Lakers? Would it add even a new level of buzz to the Lakers and this city?
I mean, it would. It absolutely would. And the reason that I just feel like this is, this seems so inevitable to me. I mean, he is so ensconced in L.A. right now, LeBron, that, you know, he's got an office at Warner Brothers. He's got a production company. This is a big deal for him. It's not like a dalliance. This is going to be his career when he ends up hanging it up in basketball. And it just feels like this is the place, and he's got real estate here. So it feels like this is going on. And, you know, look, part of basketball is the skill of the player. I mean, look, we've certainly had more than our share when you look at, you know, Kobe and Magic and Shaq and all the people we've had. But LeBron is bigger than just playing basketball. I mean, he's one of those, you know, larger-than-life figures. And I think, you know, especially in a city like L.A. that is really into the whole idea of celebrity, it's as much his celebrity as it is his basketball skills. And I think it would have a huge impact. And, it's funny, Jim, it does remind me, it's because one of the things I talk to Magic about a lot is, you know, the Showtime Lakers, that it kind of brings that back some. And, by the way, did you know what, did you ever hear about the room that Magic has in his house? Devoted to, you know, his career on the Lakers. Did you ever hear about that?
No, I do not know about that room. Tell me about that room.
Dude, I mean, that one of the things he did when we talked about the Lakers, he said, okay, here's what I'm going to do for my object. I'm going to bring you into this room. And he brings me into this room, and the floor says Showtime Lakers. It was the floor that he played on. Mm. And then he got the five Tiffany trophies that they won, replicas of it, that Adam Silver let him have, because they normally don't. And then he shows me, you know, in Italy, they blow glass and they can create, you know, figurines and whatnot?
Yes.
He had some guy in Italy do the figures of all of the members of the team, and it is so lifelike and realistic. It's just crazy, and this room is, I mean, I could barely talk to him because all I could do is just look around this room. But it's amazing, and it was one of his kids' rooms. He said, I just couldn't wait for this kid to grow up so I could have this room back.
Yeah, I don't have a room like that, Harvey. I don't have anything like that at all. But he clearly understands the device of objectified because he has something to bring to it. You know, before you go, you mentioned celebrity. Now, when TMZ first started, you were the outsiders, the renegades, the website that celebrities feared. How much of that has changed over the years?
You know, it's funny because, you know, my feeling is this, that so much of what happened in Hollywood before was kind of run by publicists. And, you know, they could get somebody to tell a story that wasn't true, or they could get somebody to kill something that was relevant. And look, we said, that's not what we're about. We want to tell honest, fair stories. And we went into this saying, look, we're going to work with you guys. And if there's ever a story, it could be good, it could be bad, whatever it is, we're always going to put your side in. And we really, like, person by person, you know, started calling people and saying, here's what we're going to do. And over time, you know, we've built relationships with everybody in town. So, you know, it's a different operation in the sense that we work with everybody, but we're still telling the stories that we tell. But I think people, you know, I think that the climate has changed, and certainly the internet has changed, and media has changed. But, you know, we're still, I think I've been around this since the beginning. We're doing the same thing. It's just, you know, in 13 years, we've developed, you know, a significant number of contacts in every area, and, you know, everybody works with us. They just do. So, you know, it's more collaborative in that sense, but I don't think that the mission statement has really changed that much. I really don't.
Harvey, let me ask you something. We're running a little bit long, but I want to personalize something. You mentioned the publicist. Now, they used to run that town. Did you know Paul Block? And I bring this up because Paul Block was a famous, famous publicist who recently passed away. And I bring it up because you and I both went to UC Santa Barbara. And when I came out of UCSB and I signed my first local radio deal, I did not have an attorney. My mother went to summer camp with Paul Block. Paul Block says, I'm going to set you up with Jake Blum. I don't know Jake Blum. I'm living in Santa Barbara. You know I'm making no money whatsoever, Harvey. I go down, I meet with Jake Blum. He says, you cannot afford me, but the firm will take you on because you're a friend of Paul Block's. And then I've been with the same firm for my entire career. Did you know Paul Block very well and the work that he did?
I knew Paul, and Paul was, number one, Paul gave you great advice because Jake Blum is a great lawyer and in a fantastic firm.
Well, you know he's not my attorney, though, Harvey. Jake kept me, I think, for 2 days, but you're right. The firm is amazing, though. You're right.
Well, Jake's a great guy, but it's funny enough that the firm he's in, one of the guys in the firm, Alan Hergott, was best friends with my law school roommate's girlfriend, and I got to know Alan through him. And you know, to this day, I know Alan, but it's a great firm. Paul was really connected. I mean, Paul was a very powerful publicist. And again, you know, when I say that they were doing all of this, they were. But I think when we came along, they pivoted, and we said, look, we're going to tell honest stories. And they all, eventually, and it didn't take really that long, they all worked with us. And Paul was one of them. I mean, Paul was great. Miss him.
Yeah, he was a great, great guy. The second season of Objectified, and I appreciate your thoughts on that, Harvey. Thanks. The second season of Objectified does premiere Sunday at 8 p.m. on Fox News. Harvey Levin sits down with Magic Johnson. Harvey, so good to talk to you as always. Thank you very much. And I know we'll talk again soon.
Great talking to you, Jim.
You too, Harvey. You're great. If you're planning a summer birthday party or a wedding and you've got a bunch of invitations you have to mail, make it easy on yourself. Use Stamps.com. The U.S. Postal Service is an important tool for any business because it reaches every household every single day. Now, Stamps.com is the easiest way to access all the amazing services of the post office. Stamps.com never closes. You can print postage for letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. And my favorite thing about Stamps.com is it saves you time and money. So what you need to do is create your own Stamps.com account. You can do so in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Click, print, mail, and you are done. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Once again, I have used Stamps.com for a long time because it is so fast, it is so easy, it is so convenient, and it does save me money. Right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer, which includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. All you have to do is go to Stamps.com, hit the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in jungle. Once again, I love this service. I know you will too. Go to Stamps.com and enter jungle. Laker fan, let me ask you something. I'm here in SoCal. You're not that far down the road. How you living right now, Laker fan? We are now one day away from the draft where the Lakers have the 25th pick. We're now a week and a half from the start of free agency and the possibility of LeBron James and Paul George throwing on the purple and gold. And, of course, Kawhi watch 2018 continues. And he was here in SoCal. In other words, Laker fan, how the hell are you living? Don't answer that because I know how it is. You're in every single chat room, bulletin board, Reddit page, group text, 24/7, tracking every rumor and taking food through a tube, breathing pure oxygen through a mask, probably even rocking your adult diaper so you don't miss anything at all. Chris Paul says LeBron is going to LA. Yeah, you knew that already. Gary Payton says LeBron's kids are going to enroll in school north of LA. Got it. Hell, you're probably already firing up the flight tracker to monitor LeBron's every single move. And then yesterday comes the news that Greg Popovich flew to Cali to meet with Kawhi Leonard. According to ESPN, now follow this, ESPN says Pop had been trying to set that meeting up for weeks, but Kawhi did not want the meeting and, quote, has been purposely difficult for the Spurs to reach recently, end quote. Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and say that that's not a good sign for the Spurs. Everybody knows what it means when they're in a relationship and suddenly the other person is too busy to have dinner or coffee or return a text. You know, those texts that used to come back within the hour, suddenly they're not coming back for 3 hours, 5 hours, or at all. It's typically a sign that things are just about to end, if they haven't already. And if Kawhi is attempting to ghost the Spurs, it's going to be tough to turn that thing around. And if that's the case, I'm not sure a meeting, one that Kawhi reportedly didn't want anyway, is going to change anything at all. However, and when it comes to this story, there's always a however. USA Today reports that that meeting had actually been on the books already for weeks. And it was not a response to the news that Kawhi wanted to be traded. So you've got ESPN saying that it was something the Spurs had been working on for weeks. But you have USA Today saying it had already been locked down for weeks. And again, the people doing the reporting are all reputable reporters. So I'm not going to bring that up just to point fingers or to say somebody got hooked, somebody got beat out, somebody got outreported. I'm not saying that. I only bring it up to point out that this whole thing is just bizarre. It's one big mystery. It's been so weird and so bizarre, starting with a quad injury that never went away, continuing with a player who was cleared to play but didn't play. And then the reports that Kawhi wants to be traded but has not officially told the team that he wants to be traded and that his shoe company wants him in a bigger market. And now we have a meeting that was either scheduled for a long, long time in advance or one that only came about after weeks of the coach trying to get it done. I mean, who the hell knows, right? How did this guy and this team even get to this place? I mean, this guy and this team. You know, the quiet superstar who is happy where he was. The team that doesn't have issues like this. And even better, with as big of a meeting as this was, nobody seems to know what the hell was said in the meeting. So, in a situation like this, it's always good to check the social media of the player at the center of it to get some insight. So, let's head on over to Kawhi's Twitter page, and you'll find something really interesting. A retweet from the San Diego State Facilities and Game Operations account. Check out this tweet. If you want to know what's going on with Kawhi, check out this tweet. Had a special guest today at the @GoAztecs, Jeff Jacobs, #JamCenter. Thanks for stopping by at Kawhi Leonard. #AztecMBB. Straight freaking fire. He went there. My man went there. Well, actually, he didn't just go there. That tweet was from 3 years ago, and that's Kawhi's latest tweet. My man's got four tweets total, and the last one was from 3 years ago. So do not go to his Twitter feed looking for any kind of insight or any kind of update at all. And don't go there expecting to buy that special KL2 custom swag board that he mentioned in his second to last tweet. So potential trade partners have reached out to the Spurs, but it's obvious the Spurs do not want to trade this guy. They want to turn this thing around. They want to get him back on the same page with him. But if he's that furious with Pop, if he's that furious with the organization, if he's that furious with Tony Parker for saying that his quad injury was 100 times worse and he doesn't want to be there, then the Spurs may not have any choice. You really don't want a guy who doesn't want to be there. You really don't want to be a guy, or you don't want a guy who's going to walk and leaves you with nothing in return, right? But then again, I know I'm rambling on about this, but nobody really knows anything. But then again, would you really have it any other way? Have you seen Greg Popovich's in-game interviews? Have you seen Kawhi's Twitter page? Neither side says jack, ever. They don't leak. They don't give away info. This is very on brand for them. I get it. It's frustrating for all of us, but I've got to respect it. And if it's all gray and mysterious to you, that's the way they want it. Nobody knows jack. Nobody knows jack except, and I'll end this note with this, nobody knows jack except for one guy. Laker fan. Laker fan knows exactly what's up. Laker fan's got all the intel. Laker fan knows what time it is because Laker fan will tell you Kawhi was just meeting with Pop to negotiate the trade that will send him to LA. And he's also laying the groundwork for LaMarcus Aldridge, Boogie Cousins, and Kevin Durant to join LeBron and PG in Staples. Because while the rest of the world doesn't know anything at all as it relates to Kawhi and where his head is at, Laker fan does. Laker fan knows exactly what's going on. Laker fan knows LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George will be playing for the Lakers next year. And if Laker fan is saying it and re-rocking his car flag once again, that's good enough for me. If Laker fan says it, it must be true. It's all good, Laker fan, isn't it? You know. I know this. If Kawhi is dead set on coming to LA, and that's what the reports suggest, he ain't coming to play for the Clippers. He's coming to play for the Lakers. And if the Spurs do not accommodate him right now, he'll do it on his own accord next season.
Kawhi not.
Every day, I have to perform at my best on air for 3 hours. Listen, it's not easy, and it's even tougher if I'm dragging. That's why I sleep on a Casper mattress. That's why I'm at my best every single day. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free Sleep On It trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting Casper.com/jungle. Once again, Casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, Casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. Sam, it's great to have you back. How are you, bud?
Romy, doing great. How are you, sir?
Good, man. Sam, great to have you. Thanks for making time. Let me start with the story of the day, the story of the week, and that, of course, is the relationship between Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs. I mean, Sam, this thing has been so crazy. What have you made of the way this whole thing has played out?
Yeah, definitely crazy. I mean, the one thing yesterday that, you know, we got clarity on was that over the course of the past couple of days, it was a little strange how, you know, I guess 4 days, you got the word coming out that Kawhi wanted a change of scenery, likely Lakerland. But then when you talk to the teams that had interest in getting him, there was kind of a weird in between. And period where the Spurs were taking calls on possible trade scenarios, but not necessarily giving anybody guidance about what they might want or really fully engaging. It was kind of that in-between period. We'll pick up the phone, but we're not going to really have a serious conversation. And it kind of had me wondering, are they still trying to mend fences here? And so that's where we are now. I don't know what direction it's going. It still seems really tough to kind of imagine this kind of genie getting put back in the bottle when it comes to the relationship between Kawhi and San Antonio. But that meeting yesterday with Kawhi and Pop, you know, I was told it went well, for whatever that means, but I was not told what it means in terms of what comes next. But, you know, definitely another turn here.
So what do you think? I mean, when you say that the meeting went well, how do you think that went in terms of the way it played out? Do you think, for instance, that Pop went there and he tried to placate Kawhi, or do you think he took a hard line? How do you think Pop approached that meeting?
Well, that's where it gets tricky, because it'd be one thing if you were just trying to mend fences in the kind of way that allowed these two parties to work together for the next year. Like, hey, you know, we got a shared goal. We got a season coming up. Let's kind of see where this thing goes, and let's handle free agency in 2019. Well, that's not the case. I mean, you've got this elephant in the room, five-year, $215 million extension that is eligible for Kawhi to get. And so it demands answers right now. And, you know, that's where I don't have clarity on that conversation, because it's fine if they got things to a better place and maybe man-to-man they feel a little bit better about, you know, misunderstandings or the way that each side has treated the other. But that's still a big way, or a long ways rather, from the Spurs trusting Kawhi enough to give him that kind of money, given the way the last 9 months has gone.
Sam Amick joining us. You know, Sam, you mentioned that it might not be possible for them to get that genie back in the bottle, and then you just said how the last 9 months have gone. I mean, what's your sense of the biggest issues in this situation, and can they be resolved, or have we reached a point of no return, if you had to guess?
Romy, I apologize, my friend. That cut out a tiny bit. Give me that one more time.
Yeah, what do you think the biggest issues are here exactly, and can they really be resolved?
So the injury stuff, I mean, it's just trust is the word that comes to mind, and trust is what seems to have been lost. And then the lost in translation aspect comes into play, too, because of the uniqueness of Kawhi's camp around him. His uncle, Dennis Robertson, you know, leading the way, handling his affairs, you know, his agent, Mitch Frankel. So the media, you know, the kind of in-between people have muddied the waters a little bit. But the trust relating to the quad injury last year and the fact that on his side, certainly he feels like I was doing everything I could to get back on the floor, doing everything I can to learn about the injury and why it's not getting better quicker, sought outside medical counsel. And the sense I get is that there's a resentment because, you know, he didn't necessarily think he was doing anything wrong, even going outside the family medical group. But then the narrative started coming out in the media that, you know, the Kawhi was kind of off the program, off the tracks, you know, and this is something that it's almost that sense of, well, Timmy didn't do this and Tony didn't do this and Manu didn't do this. And that it was an offense to the Spurs' sensibilities, the way that Kawhi was handling the situation. So I think both sides, at their worst, were looking at each other sideways. And again, that's a lot to fix.
Yes, yeah, that's really interesting. That's, when you put it that way, that's very interesting to me, because I could see where the Spurs would say, hey, look, you're our star player. Believe me, we've got your best interest in mind. And Kawhi's saying, look, I'm doing everything I can to get better. Why is this getting out there? Now, if Kawhi were to end up, Sam, going to the Lakers, if that were to happen, what kind of an impact do you think that might have on LeBron's decision-making?
I think it'd be big at minimum from the standpoint of LeBron's got to have help. I mean, I keep contending that, you know, obviously we're all talking every day right now about where's LeBron going to go. And so even the other day I had said that there's more buzz about L.A., in terms of the market and the team, than there is, and certainly the Lakers, not the Clippers, than there is any other team on the LeBron list. But that's kind of skipping over a major factor, which is I truly do not think that he's going anywhere outside of Cleveland unless he is able to partner with an all-star caliber player. So Kawhi would represent that. I don't know 100% to what degree Kawhi has interest in playing with LeBron. I think LeBron is definitely on the market for any of those top-tier players who he could partner with. So I think it would definitely help the Lakers' chances of getting LeBron if they got Kawhi. But the same applies to Paul George, same applies to Chris Paul, you know, and maybe one or two other guys. But, you know, I think that would be big for the Lakers.
Sam Amick joins us. All right, you mentioned Chris Paul. I mean, from a basketball standpoint, Sam, it might make sense for LeBron to go to Houston, but from a salary cap standpoint, how much sense does that make, and would Paul take less money for LeBron to come?
I don't think so. I mean, the backstory on Chris going to Houston, you know, I feel like we probably even talked about before, is that, you know, it always got kind of characterized as just him wanting to go join James Harden, and that was the motivation. Well, the other part there is that my understanding was the Clippers never put that 5-year max offer on the table that he wanted last summer. And in the absence of that, he said, well, let me just opt into my deal and force my way to Houston. But the motive, one of the motives anyway, in addition to winning championships for going to Houston, was to get paid at the absolute maximum, you know, potential. And then this is obviously coming from a guy in Chris, who is the president of the players union and has played a significant part in the way the rules are structured as far as these Supermax deals. And so I don't see him taking a pay cut, even if it's for his best friend, who, you know, LeBron and Chris are definitely BFFs. Those guys are thick as thieves. But, you know, the math is extremely challenging. You know, does LeBron opt in to his Cleveland deal and force a trade to Houston like Chris did when he went to Houston? Is there pay cuts involved? I mean, I saw Tom Penn of ESPN just the other day was breaking down the numbers and had written down on a whiteboard the idea of LeBron taking $5 million a year to go to Houston. I mean, that's just not happening. So the math is tough. You know, do they renounce every prospective free agent on the roster and just find a way to get those stars under the same wing and then build out from there? I don't know. The more important thing for me about LeBron at Houston is that at least right now, I still get the sense that, yeah, I just don't think that's in the cards in terms of his preference and what jersey he wants to put on, what franchise he wants to attach himself to. That could change. We still have plenty of time. But, you know, I'm kind of looking in other directions right now.
Sam Amick, breaking it all down, joining us for a few more moments. You know, Sam, the guy that we're not talking about very much is Paul George. Now, you've spent time with Paul George over the years. You know what he's about to a large extent. How do you think he's approaching this offseason? Is he waiting to see what LeBron does, or do you think that Paul George has already made up his own mind?
I'm starting to wonder about the latter, Jim. You know, there's some buzz about the positivity between Paul and the Thunder. As you can imagine, Oklahoma City folks with that organization are not about to get excited at this point, given what they've been through with Kevin Durant. You know, they felt good about their star player coming back before, and then we know what happened there. But it's interesting because you would assume, outside looking in, that the way their season ended last year, you know, you're talking about a team that had championship aspirations in terms of the hype going into the season. At minimum, the idea of getting to the conference finals seemed like a fair expectation, you know, and so then they get bounced early like they did. It doesn't work. You know, once Andre Robertson got hurt, their defense was terrible. And so everybody assumed that Paul was gone, but I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, if the Thunder could pull this off, if they can convince Paul to come back, it would speak volumes, excuse me, about Russell Westbrook. And I think the narrative that, you know, that other top tier players in the league don't click with him, it would be a great look for Russ. It'd be a great look for the Thunder. Small market, you know, keeping a big market like LA at bay and holding on to their guy. So, I mean, that's what they're hoping for. They have optimism, but, you know, a long ways to go.
It's a great point. So, a final thought then. What about LA? I mean, if you're looking, Sam, at Kawhi and LeBron and Paul George as three targets for the Lakers, how likely is it that they end up with one, two, or all three of them?
I hate to say it for Laker fans, but I feel like it's almost an all or nothing proposition, because I don't think Paul wants to go there alone. You know, I mean, listen, he's comfortable with Russell Westbrook as kind of his, you know, they're kind of 1 and 1A in OKC. I think he would need something comparable in LA if he was going to go there. And so it becomes like, that's why the Kawhi thing is a big one. If they could somehow talk the Spurs into doing a deal with them, then they'd be on their way. And then that snowball, you know, the best kind of snowball, gets bigger really quickly. So I feel like it's almost like, you know, all three or none. The in-between, I think you're going to have Paul getting cold feet going back to OKC, LeBron having cold feet going either back to Cleveland or somewhere else, you know, and then Kawhi going wherever San Antonio sends him.
Sam, it's so hard for me to fathom. I mean, I just don't see it. I can't see the Lakers getting shut out. That said, could you imagine what would happen if the Lakers got shut out?
It's going to be some noise.
Man.
I mean, I'm going to be down there next week. It's interesting. I'm going to go down to the TNT Awards, and I'm kind of excited about it. As you know, I'm based up in Northern California, but, you know, just kind of getting a sense of the mood and the vibe leading into free agency with so much on the line. You know, you got Jeannie Buss out here, who I have always enjoyed and appreciated, you know, tweeting about don't ever underestimate us and these kind of cryptic tweets that make you feel like the Lakers folks have reason to believe that something great is coming. You know, Mitch Kupchak is on the other side of the country doing his thing in Charlotte, and like it's crazy how time flies and all these characters in the Lakers story have come and gone, and a lot of it has led to this moment. So I agree with you. If they shoot an air ball on this one, it's going to be hard because they tried to kind of temper expectations a few months ago when stories started coming out about, you know, 2019 free agency being the bigger priority. But as you know, right now, that's not the expectation. People are expecting some new stars in purple and gold.
Exactly. 1 month from today, Smack Off 24, the nearly quarter century old main event, is going to make its television debut 30 days from right now. So now is not go time. It has been go time. And you don't need to hear that from me. You should already know that. You want to pick up the phone. You want to get qualified. You want to come take your shot. Get yourself a golden ticket. Put yourself in the mix, not only for the championship, but for $5,000. Cold, hard cash. If Mona from Tennessee can do this, why the hell can't you?
As for Brad Lee in Corona, Maki in Indy, and Vicky in NorCal, I'm coming for y'all, and y'all have not got anything on me.
That was yesterday. Mona. And just like anything about to run its 24th installment, things have changed around here. Things have evolved around here. But that does not mean that I do not have an appreciation for history. In fact, nobody appreciates it more than yours truly. Putting on Smack Off 24 in 30 short days would not be possible without every contender that came before, every contender that weighed in for that fight. I'm talking about the legends. I'm talking about the OGs. I'm talking about the godfathers of Smack. I'm talking about the people who lit the lines and paved the way for the new generation, the so-called 2.0ers. I'm talking about Terrence and Sierra Madre. Because before, this dude was making an all-time cameo in Left in Laguna's 2017 call. He was dialing in to crack on anything and everything that moved, including Olympic swimmers.
Hey, believe it or not, Jim, in all the Olympics, I have a swimming take. I've heard about these new body suits the swimmers wear that make them faster in the water and more buoyant. You've got to be kidding me. Hey, why stop there? Why not just slap on some fins, fish boy? Better yet, just forget swimming it altogether and ride around in a stinking motorboat, Aquaman. Finally, Jim, I'd like to leave you with a quote from that epic song by Neems from V-Town. How proud he must have been to have lunch with a monkey, lunch with a monkey, lunch with a monkey. Top that, Whitey. Out.
You might not think that's funny, but that's really funny. Very dated, but it's funny. Terrence and Sierra Madre may in fact be the best to never win. 14 top 10 finishes is about as strong as it gets. And he knows he's got a lifetime open invite to come and rip the title that he never could. Jeff and Richmond's back for more. Terrence, how about you? Come on, Terrence. I'm shouting out to you. I'm also talking about a two-time Smack Off winner, Doc Mike Ditola. Doc Mike was cracking the top 10 annually from 96 to 2012. Think about that for a second. A 16-year run of greatness, including this IE, Inland Empire crackback on Brad in Corona way back in 2010.
You aren't Brad from Corona. You are Brad in Corona, Brad. What the hell went wrong? You live in the only place in the country that has its own urban dictionary definition. Your life's work has landed you in the, quote, Valley of the Dirt People. Your ambition and your life skills have landed you in a place so heinous that it's caused three innocent numbers to now send chills down our spine. No SoCal resident can hear the numbers 909 without instinctively turning to run. You guys single-handedly put the show Cops on the map and were kind enough to teach America, hey, don't bathe your daughter in the same tub where you cook the math.
Don't bathe your daughter in the same tub where you cook the meth. That's sound advice right there. You can't argue with that. And if I'm talking about the legends, there's no doubt that I got to bring this guy up because he comes up every single year. people bring this guy up every single year. For a long time, I brought this guy up every single year, but I couldn't convince him to come back in, so I finally just stopped trying. But not a lot of you. Many of you still continue to bring up Jim in Fall River. We may never hear from this dude ever again. But if we don't, we'll always have this epic Andy Pettit take to reset.
For the love of God, would you networks please curtail the amount of extreme close-ups on one Andrew Pettit? Andy Pettit pitches with his mouth agape, and he has the eyes of a goat, okay? I give him credit. He's a mean lefty. He's got a wicked sinker. But just because he glares at Posada like he's trying to burn a hole through Jorge's eyebrows with his mind doesn't necessarily mean he's any more focused than the other eight a-holes wearing pinstripes on the field.
You can see why I try and bring that up every single year. And believe me, there are so many other calls that guy made that I haven't gotten to yet that are no longer appropriate in 2018. Alvin, what year was that call? I can never remember. That was back in... I want to play that one more time. This call was made in 2002.
For the love of God, would you networks please curtail the amount of extreme close-ups on one Andrew Pettit? Andy Pettit pitches with his mouth agape, and he has the eyes of a goat, okay? I give him credit. He's a mean lefty. He's got a wicked sinker. But just because he glares at Posada like he's trying to burn a hole through Jorge's eyebrows with his mind doesn't necessarily mean he's any more focused than the other eight a-holes wearing pinstripes on the field.
Fall River, Red Sox fan. Listen, not only does that call still hold up, not only does that call still work, that call is better than most calls that I get on this program in 2018, and he made that in 2002. Jim in Fall River, I have no idea where the hell you are. I don't know if you have any game left. 16 years after the fact, you are welcome to come in on July 20th. This guy could go 16 more years without calling the program, and on the strength of that call alone, he would still be welcome. He never won the smack-off. That's how tough it is to win a smack-off. Guys like that, Terrence has never won. Jim in Fall River never won. But they've got game, and that's what legends do, man. They leave their mark. They get remembered. They get due respect. Always have, always will. Because as Terrence said last year during Left's call, legends never die, kid.
No, legends never die, kid.
So to the legends, you know who you are. You know you are invited. I hope you show up. And to everybody else, you want to take a shot. You think you've got that kind of game. You think you have that in you. Show me. Show me. Pick up the phone and be a dude or a gal who gets the audio treatment in 2028, 2032, 2034. I wonder who amongst you in 2032 is going to hear me drop a call where I say, Alvin, what year was that? It's 2018, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Some of the reaction here. Lee Harold Oswald tweets, Terrence! Terrence was an amazing caller. It was so good to see him last year. Jim.
How proud he must have been to have lunch with a monkey. Lunch with a monkey.
Jim, is this the first ever Smack-Off winner? Or is the first ever Smack-Off winner JT the Brick invited to this year's Smack-Off? Can Hawk work his magic and get him to call? Thanks, Drew in West L.A. You know how it is. If you've won the thing, you have a lifetime exemption. And I don't know if you know that. Two things right there. I don't know if you know, JT the Brick won the first ever Smack-Off. He was a great, great caller on the show. He won the Smack-Off, and he has parlayed that into a very successful radio career. I don't know if you knew that or not. You probably did. I don't know if you knew this or not. Hawk worked for JT prior to working for me. So, Drew in West L.A., if you've won the event, you are exempt and eligible to call. And Hawk has told me in the past, I haven't talked to JT. I've run to JT at Super Bowl. Super Bowl in Houston, I actually saw him. But Hawk has made the point to me that JT made the point to him that that's a point of great pride to him, that he won the Smack-Off. It should be, too. He won the first ever Smack-Off. And obviously, I knew he was different, and he's had a great career. JB in the 509 tweets, where are Mikey and Vicky? Mikey and Vicky, I did not gloss on that because, as I said yesterday, I would never refer to a male as a female to mock them.
As for Brad Lee and Corona, Maki and Vicky.
That was Mona. Mona also made the point yesterday when she called, hey, listen, I got something for y'all. I had breast cancer. I had brain cancer. I was shot. I'm a domestic violence survivor. I work as a nurse in the ER. If you don't want me here, that's fine. I can get up out of here because I'm a helicopter pilot. Mona also name dropped Pat Summit, who she knew, said they were friends. So she made it in. She's the one who said, Mikey, Vicky, Bradley.
Mikey in Indy.
Hey, Rome, would you mind resetting Dwight again? I don't care for this topic. Enough already about the golden tickets. Nothing to see here. Regards, Fluke in Fart Collins. Vody in Pasadena. Bro, are you in first grade? Is that what this has come to? Fort Collins being Fart Collins? That's what passes for smack now? Everybody wants Luke to call in and defend his ticket. Maybe Luke knows that he doesn't have the game to defend that ticket. Maybe Luke knows that if he calls in, he might get that ticket ripped. Know this, Luke. I can rip any ticket that I want. So I can rip that ticket for you not calling in to show that I made the right choice in giving you that ticket. Don't play safe, man. Don't play it safe. In fact, I'll tell you what, Luke. You have until the end of the show Friday to call this program to let me know that I made the right decision in giving you that ticket. If I don't hear from you between now and the end of the show Friday, you're going to get schmacky helicoptered. Back to Jim in Fall River. That was not just that one great bit of a call or one great line or two. This guy had a lot of great lines. Once he called with an animal in the background.
Category, chowds. If this smack off was chowd only, it wouldn't be much less entertaining. You know, chowds have been bringing the smack since the pilgrims hung the scarlet letter on anyone's house who refused to conform. Then chowds ran the smack on the British by dumping all their tea into the harbor, shouting, tack this. You know, the chowds beat the Confederate Army to help abolish soccer, slavery. The chowds built Harvard, which in turn sprouted National Lampoon. I think we get the smack thing. You know, last night I was trying to cast a mental picture of what the jungle might sound like without the host, without the famous guests, without the facts and the emails, or without my takes. It wouldn't be a very appealing sound. I love trouble. For a few clones, I hate you all a-holes on the street. I avoid you at any cost. You are lined up to piss on my debut. Your prize will be a leg and a boot. Barking Mark in Buffalo. Just the fact alone that you chose Flutie to run smack on makes you look like the no-take wonder you are. I can't wait for you to break out with some Lance Armstrong or Eric Davis smack. You know, the only way you can win this thing is if you called on a cell phone while barrel-jumping Niagara. Bet you can't do it, buddy. Before Hasek arrived, Buffalo's greatest athlete was Bob McAdoo. Look how that turned out. The only thing Buffalo has over Kraft Chester is a chicken wing recipe that you didn't actually invent. When Dan Rather still had his facilities in order, his most famous quote was, Americans will put up with anything provided it doesn't block traffic. Which brings me to the Palm pilot, Jeffrey in Phoenix. Jeffrey being chucked a bird by other drivers on a greasy car phone somewhere in the valley. Jeffrey is living proof that of all the clones, with nothing to add, maybe 10% of them decide not to call. The next time I care, what another clone does for work will be the first time. You waste time with your Wall Street delusions while giving us Walmart takes, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, cough up a buck and send Rome a free fruit basket instead of making us yawn while you endanger other valley transients.
Stay with me.
Residents in your car phone calling up to tell me you can't feel the pain of Celtic fan. Tell me something, buddy. Walter Davis, Jason Kidd, and you are the biggest yellow rat bastards in Maricopa County. When you get clever, I want to throw a Jody Foster reset look on the map. The Big Dan's rape trial.
Is that in the background?
Not Fall River. Fall River is the place where 100 years ago the
Jim, what is that? What is that animal in the background?
She was Lizzie Borden, and the house now is
this dude. This dude was just going and going and going. He'd probably still be going right now if he didn't get run. Did you hear that old school buzzer, the old school hammer that got dropped? That was 2000. That dude was so far ahead of his time. That call was 18 years ago. So things we used to do back then, man, I'm telling you, this show is good. This show is still good, really good. But man, this show was amazing back then. That was Jim in Fall River. So as you might imagine, for probably 10 years, I kept looking for this guy. Where are you? Where are you? Jimbo, Jimbo, where are you? And then I finally gave up. But he made calls like that. Jim, do it. Jeff in Richmond's back. If Jim in Fall River were to show up for the first time in 15 years and win this thing, it'd be the greatest story ever. Unless Mona showed up for the first time ever and won the thing. And then it might be the best story ever. Somebody do something. Somebody show me something. Somebody come in here and make a statement. The smack off. Someone call someone. Devin Funchess is my guest. Devin, it's good to have you on. How are you? Oop, my bad. Hey, Devin, what's up?
Hello?
Yeah, man, my bad. I totally choked that thing away. What's up? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, man. I'm great. Listen, you recently wrapped up OTA, so let me just start right there. How'd it feel to be back out there with the fellas and doing some business and playing again?
I mean, it felt good. You know, long, after that long break off, running and getting the new offense down pack and
that doesn't sound too good.
Hello?
Devin.
Hello?
Yeah, okay, I got you now. So you had some time off. It's good to be back, though, right?
Yeah, it's great to be back. I mean, we got to gel with each other. We got to learn a new offense, get our legs back running, and get ready for the camp coming up.
All right, so you made the point about the new offense. The team brings in Norv Turner as the offense coordinator. Listen, you guys went 11-5 last year. A lot of teams would be pretty happy with that and just keep doing what they're doing. So what kind of a message does it send that they make a change like that even after winning 11 games? What's it tell you about the expectations and how high they are?
The Super Bowl is the goal. That's what Coach Rivera preaches every day. So they have to have that same mentality going on each day. So getting better and knowing what the goal is at the end of the season.
Now, I know it's still early in the process, but what do you think of Norv Turner's offense so far?
Norv is he's a guru behind the scenes of it, and he makes sure we push ourselves and he pushes us to the limits and making sure everything is perfect, and perfection is key. And at the end of the day, we're going to get the W.
Devin, the receiver room is a little bit different this year because there are some new faces, and there's a lot of speed and a lot of personalities in that room. So what's your sense? What's the vibe like among the receivers so far?
Everything is good. It's like you said, there's a lot of personalities and a lot of speed. So there's a lot of dynamic guys. When they touch the ball, we all can do something different with it. And there's a lot of home run hitters. We just in there, like I said, we're just yelling. We're getting everything down packed, and we're getting comfortable with one another, Cam, and the rest of the quarterbacks as well.
You know, one of the new additions is Torrey Smith, and you immediately dubbed him the OG. I know the two of you have worked out together in the past, so what was your reaction when you found out that he was coming, and what does he bring to the team?
He, just like you say, he's the OG. He's been in the league the longest. He's won 2 Super Bowls. He has a couple long seasons under his belt, a lot of experience, and he knows what it takes to get to the promised land.
You know, Ron Rivera was saying that something he really likes in what he's seeing in you is that you're getting the opportunity to be the man in that room and that you're really embracing it. So what's that experience been like for you?
I just take it day by day and just continue to lead by example. Make sure I'm giving my max effort in practice, make sure everybody knows what I line up, everybody knows what they got to do. And then from there, it's just we catch the ball and make a play. And That's all I really take from the game is being in the right position and then go do what I do.
Devin Funchess, my guest. Listen, though, I mentioned this off the top. You had a career year last year, but it's even more impressive when you consider that you were dealing with a shoulder injury down the stretch. So how much pride do you take in the fact that you were still out there grinding it out and fighting through that pain to help your team and finish the year?
I just being from Michigan, man. That's just we just know tough ball, and And I would never allow an injury to hold me back and hurt the team from possibly getting a W at the end of the game. So I just know how to fight through adversity. I've done it before, and we got to keep it going. And I'm down getting fixed up right now, getting ready for the season right now down in Florida.
Listen, you were one of the best receivers in the league last year when it came to contested passes. You didn't drop a single contested pass last season. So when you're going up for a contested ball, how much of that is about physicality or technique? And then how much of that is just mentality that you're going to come down with it no matter what?
It's all mentality. It's just like how I was on the basketball court. It's just getting the rebound, getting the ball at the highest point, and going and battle for it. Once you get your hands on it, squeeze it, take it away from the defender. And it's just, I take that back to my basketball days when I used to play back in the day and see ball, get ball. And that's how I go about that.
Devin Funch is my guest for a few more moments. You mentioned Cam. Now, a lot of people outside your locker room have opinions on Cam Newton, and a lot of those opinions just come from what people see from a distance, but you're right there. You see him every day. What do you think about Cam as a teammate and as a leader? What's he like?
I think he's a phenomenal leader and a teammate. He puts a different energy to the game. This year is even better because last year he had to sit out because he did get that shoulder surgery. So this year is even better. He gets to learn a new offense with us and get the timing down pat as of right now. And he's feeling good. Nora's pushing him. Scott's pushing him. And everybody else is holding him accountable as well. So everybody's holding each other accountable. That's what this team is always about. There's no sense of you're alone. It's always a family. And the family always want to push you to be the best you.
Let me ask you a couple of things before you go. I want to ask you about OTAs because you hosted Camden Frost, and he's participating in the Make-A-Wish program. He didn't really seem like he was into doing stretches. He just wanted to catch passes. It looked like he was having a blast. What was it like for you to spend time with him and know how much that meant to him?
Ours is always an honor because I don't care how bad we complain about life. It's just, you see all these young kids that fight through so much stuff at such a young age when they shouldn't even have to deal with it. And it's just heartwarming for me because to have to go through that much, you really can't say how hard your life is because all the treatments and the long nights at the hospitals and things like that, I'm sure there's very strenuous on their bodies. So just to make sure they have a great time out there, he had a phenomenal time. He didn't like stretching, like you said, but he loved doing it. He's a natural at catching and throwing, so he had a great time, and he scored on defense. So he was talking a little trash. So he had a phenomenal day out there.
That's best. That's the best. That's great. Listen, last thought. I can't let you go without asking you about your dog, Chapo. How long have you had Chapo?
Yeah.
What kind of a dog is he, and how would you describe his personality?
Chapo, he is coming up on 2 next month. He is American Bully, so it's a miniature version of a pit bull. It's a different breed, though. So he's an American Bully, and his personality is just like mine. He's laid back. He doesn't bark. He likes to chill. He'll lay down with me after we go put in our bounds of we're running with him. And then he's a loving, caring dog.
Devin Funch is joining me. That's great. I mean, did you pick a dog who was like you, or did that just work out like that, that he's laid back and kind of chill like you?
It just worked out like that. I mean, I saw the litter. I saw the litter, and then I picked him, and ever since, he's just been chilling. I mean, who has a dog that doesn't bark? I mean, it's phenomenal. We get to chill, and he's like my little mute human.
That's cool. 63 receptions, 840 yards, and getting ready to do it again. Carolina opens up against Dallas on September 9th. Devin Funch is my guest. Great talking to you, man. Thank you very much. Good to have you on.
Nice talking to you, too. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Good night now!